Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just come before you, God, just in awe, God, of who you are. You're the Lord God Almighty, the creator of all things. You're the support, the sustainer of our lives, God. You knit us together and you care about every single detail of our lives. God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will pour your spirit out upon this place, God. That you will help us to be women, Lord, that take responsibility for our actions, God. That we'll be women who are willing, God, to look at ourselves clearly, God. To allow your Holy Spirit to penetrate, God, the deep, dark, hard areas of our lives, God, so that we could enter into healing and maturing. Lord Jesus, we love you, God. Help us to love you more. We trust you, God. Help us to trust you more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So before I start, I just want to encourage you guys, if you're not doing day five of your homework, to be doing day five of your homework. I've had women who either have come up to me and showed me some of their prayers, or they've texted me that they're praying through the scriptures, and just some of the revelation and the insights that they're having that they've never had before. So don't cut yourself short by not being a woman of prayer, by dedicating time to spend with God. Remember when Jesus spoke to the crowds, he gave parables. But when he was alone with his disciples is when he gave the understanding and the revelation. And so get alone with Jesus. Allow him to speak intimately to you, to give you personal revelation of the things that you need to know. So today we're going to be studying the character traits of discretion and discernment. The virtuous woman is a woman who is training in the ways of God, right? But a woman of discernment, prudence, discretion is a woman who is showing evidence now of that training. She has learned how to apply the word of God to her life. So we also need to remember that all of these qualities that we're going to be studying come out of virtue. Virtue is the core of what these qualities are, where they come out of. So what is discernment and discretion? Discernment is having the ability to distinguish, to make a judgment, right? It's intelligence, it's understanding on situations, it's insight. It's the ability to look at a situation or circumstance or ourselves, right? And recognize it for what it is. Discretion is the quality of being discreet and circumspect. It is mental and spiritual perception. It is living out the discernment. It has thoughtfulness, it's prudence, right? Discretion is farsighted. It thinks things through. And it has the ability to judge wisely. A discreet woman is a woman who has learned to curb her desires and her impulses. I'm going to read Proverbs 2, verses 2 through 7. I'm going to break it down as I go. My son, or my daughters, if you receive my words, that means if you take them in, if you accept them, if you lay hold of my words and treasure my commands within you, this means esteem them, cherish them, hide them within you so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. That means pay attention, give heed to what you're listening to, concentrate on it. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift your voice for understanding, that means beg for discernment. Cry out, beg God to help you be a woman of discernment and discretion. If you seek her as silver and search for her, make a diligent search for her like hidden treasures, then you will understand. Then you'll be able to discern, okay, the fear of God and find knowledge of God. To be a woman of discretion, we have to be diligent and deliberate in our walks. We must treasure the word of God within us. All that we are is to be given over to knowing the word of God. It must be our highest priority. Luke 12, 34. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The greatest treasure we will ever have is Jesus. Okay? Jesus is the word. So to know Jesus, to seek him, to treasure him, is to know the word. If we say we know Jesus, but we do not know the word of God, you're deceiving yourself. Because he is the word of God. John 1, verse 4 and 14. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When we go after the word, when we cry out for it, seek it, and search through it, only then will we understand the fear of God, have knowledge of God, and intimacy with Jesus. By implanting the word of God richly within us, we become the virtuous woman of discernment, right? Who's able to see situations and things clearly. Our worth becomes more valuable than rubies, right? We become invaluable, profitable. Proverbs 8, 11 and 12. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all things one may desire cannot compare with her. There is nothing that can compare to having the wisdom that is from above. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. We cannot have prudence, knowledge, right, and be women of discretion, women of discernment without the wisdom of God. Just as wisdom is more valuable than rubies, we become that invaluable woman of worth when we have the word of God, the wisdom of God within us. A virtuous woman is distinguished. She's set apart by how she carries herself. This woman behaves with discretion. She is discerning. She's perceptive. This woman is spiritually sharp. She's a woman who does not rely on her own understanding. Okay? She's not wise in her own eyes. Her wisdom comes from God. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. I'm going to read you some verses on discretion. Proverbs 2:11, discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you. Proverbs 3:21 through 22, my son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Proverbs 11:22, as a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. Titus 2:5, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Just a side note, ladies. We can bring shame on the name of God when we are not walking in our God-ordained roles. A virtuous woman, we already learned this, does not take counsel from the world or the ungodly on what the roles of a woman is to be, right? Our wisdom comes from God. We live according to the Bible. So there are so many verses on discretion or words that mean discretion. Some of the synonyms of discretion you'll find in the Bible, depending on which translation you're using or if you're in the Old or New Testament, are judgment, sober, temperate, sound mind, sane, self-controlled, purpose, understanding, reason, prudence, insight, discreet, discerning, and intelligence. One definition of discretion is it's wisdom applied to practice, okay? It's wisdom being lived out. So wherever true wisdom is, it will lead to an action. A woman of discretion is purposeful in her actions. Wisdom is being applied to her decision-makings. A way to kind of understand discernment and discretion is it's wisdom making a choice. So how do we know? How do we know if we're making wise choices, if we're discerning situations, if we're seeing things accurately? Luke 7:35 says, but wisdom is justified by all her children, meaning what is the offspring? What is being produced from the decisions that we're making? Is it chaos, confusion, discord, self-seeking, envy, fractured relationships? Or, on the other hand, are you seeing the fruits of wisdom? James 3, verses 17 through 18 says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Women of discretion think things through. They do not act on whims. She's temperate, okay? She acts out of knowledge. She shows restraint and she is willing to yield when necessary. Psalm 119, 58 through 59. I entreated your favor with my whole heart, meaning I want your blessings, God, with all that I am. I want your favor and your blessings upon me, okay? So I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. I thought about my ways, and I turned my feet to your testimonies. I pondered my path, right? I thought it through. Women of discretion think about where they are going, and they will turn their feet, their lives, according to God's word. Proverbs 4, 26. I ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. The reason why so many women end up in bondage to sin is that they are not pondering their past. They are not thinking things through all the way to the end result. For example, if we keep putting filth and the world into our minds, okay, we're gonna have dirty thoughts. We're gonna have covetous thoughts. We're gonna have greedy thoughts, resulting in sinful actions. If we think that we could be partakers of filth and not become dirty, we're not thinking things through. A woman of discretion is deliberate about what she allows into her life and into her mind. Philippians 4:8 tells us what we are to meditate on, what we are to think on. Okay, finally, my brethren, whatever things are true. Okay? If it's gossip, if it's hearsay, stay away from it. Whatever things are noble, this means reverent, high quality, godly, respected. Whatever things are just, innocent, righteous. Whatever things are pure. Sin is not pure. Your sin, the sins of the past, watching sinful things on devices is not pure. Whatever things are lovely, that means pleasing. Whatever things are of a good report, the best report is Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for you, his bloodshed on the cross and the fact that he's coming back. Think on that. Meditate on that. If there's any virtue, moral excellence, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate, think on these things. A woman of discretion keeps her mind in check. Right? She takes her thoughts captive so that she's not the one in captivity. Someone's going to be captive. Either you or your thoughts. Waterboard those thoughts out by the blood of Jesus, by the water of Jesus. Get them out of there. I literally went through a stage where I was like, I'm going to waterboard. That's how I picture stuff. It's like visual, right? And I'm like, I'm going to just water them out with the word of God, because I was so tired, exhausted, from being held captive to my thoughts. An example of a woman of discretion is Abigail in 1 Samuel. She was a woman who can make wise decisions during great times of pressure. Abigail thought through her actions and what would be best for all involved. 1 Samuel 25:3. The name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife was Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and beautiful appearance. But the man was harsh and evil in his doings. He was of the house of Caleb. It states that Abigail was a woman of good understanding. This means discretion, prudence, wisdom, right? She was a woman of wisdom. Abigail did not allow the low character of her husband to affect her character. Ladies, we stand before God alone. We give personal account for our behaviors and choices. Do not justify sin in your life because of someone else's sin. Don't say things like, they made me do it, or look at the husband you gave me, or the things that happened to me. We are all past the age of accountability here. Our actions are our choice. No one can make us lose our right standing with God. It is up to us if we choose to react in a sinful way. It comes down to our personal fear of God and our desire to honor him with our actions. I'm going to detour for a minute from the story of Abigail because I want to talk about something personal. Everyone looked up. Woo! They're like, yeah, we like personal stories. I went through terrible, terrible times in my marriage. And the times that I chose to sin with my mouth, right, to not show restraint, to not have discretion, only hurt the situation. It made me feel guilty and gross because I was guilty and it was gross. It compounded the problem and it hindered healing. I thought, okay, these are Courtney's thoughts, not wisdom from above. Courtney's thoughts. I thought that I could use man's ways and get a God result. That is called being a woman of delusion. Okay, it is impossible. James 1, 19 and 20. So then, my beloved brethren, or my beloved sisters, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. I desired righteousness in myself, in my husband, in my children, right? But I was using the arm of flesh, man's ways to try to produce it. Man's ways, the flesh will never produce the things of the Spirit. Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. Okay, don't deceive ourselves. Do not deceive yourself. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. I had to decide. I had to choose to keep myself in right standing and use God's tools and not mine. I did not want to lose his power in my life, right? I had just enough fear of God to want to respect and honor him with my actions and my choices, despite all that was going on in my life. And I failed so many times. But I would fall forward. I would fall and I would be bloodied up and messed up and I would fall at the feet of Jesus and I would say, have mercy on me. I want to do better, God. I want to do better. I knew that staying down and wallowing in my failures or returning to old behaviors would not be helpful, right? It would not heal my home. It would not protect my girls. I had to choose to say, God, I want to bring you glory. I want you, God, my witness matters and I care. Our level of fear determines our behaviors. We reviewed this in week 2. Sin will abound because of a lack of respect for God. When we sin, ladies, we're sinning against God. Okay? It's unfaithfulness to God, whether or not we feel justified or not. Psalms 51, 4. Against you and you alone have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. Did David sin just against God? No. David violated a whole lot of people. He violated himself. Bathsheba, Uriah, the list goes on. But ultimately, his unfaithfulness was to God. His actions were against God because it was a violation of his relationship with God. I did not want my actions to hinder full communion. I love having insight into the scriptures. I love being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But we grieve the Spirit with active sin in our lives. I can testify from experience. That is why so many Christians have turmoil in their inner man, anxiety, depression, and the list goes on. It is because they are grieving the Holy Spirit that is within them. To grieve means to make sorrowful, full of heaviness. When we grieve the Holy Spirit in us with active unconfessed sin or justification of our sin, what we are doing is we are cutting off the joy of the Lord. If you have ever questioned God's love for you, the fact that you can grieve His Spirit proves His love. We do not grieve over someone that we do not love, that we do not care about, right? We might have frustrations, annoyances, irritation, right, with people, acquaintances. We grieve. We're made sorrowful over those we love. God loves you. That's why we can grieve His Spirit. So I'm going to read Ephesians 4, verses 25 through 32, so we could hear some of the behaviors that grieve the Spirit. Therefore, put away lying. Each of you speak truth to his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Ladies, we let the devil in when we do things the devil's way. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary, is it necessary, edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away with you, with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you. So you guys are like, what does this have to do with discretion, Courtney? Let me tell you. I'll tell you. A woman of discretion knows the word of God and she lives accordingly. The woman of discretion does not say everything she thinks. She puts away evil speaking, clamor, and corrupt words that grieve the Spirit. Proverbs 29:11. A fool vents all his feelings. A fool vents all of her feelings. But a wise man holds them back. Our feelings are fickle and they're ever-changing. Not everything we think is okay or true. A woman of discretion holds herself back. She has restraint. Some of my greatest accomplishments are the things I didn't say. Sadly, on the other hand, some of my greatest regrets, the things I did say, right? When we were in the prayer room before this, I mentioned, you know, we can't regret the evil that we don't do. We can't regret. Look back and say, oh, I wish I didn't say that. I wish I, you know. Proverbs 17:27. He who has knowledge, this means discernment, spares his words. And a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. When our spirits are at rest, trusting in the Lord, our words are going to be evidence of that. Okay? A fretting heart will lead to an overflow of the mouth. So now we're going to go back to Abigail. Can you guys imagine the outcome if Abigail would have rushed in emotion, right, and got up all up on her husband for being foolish? Many lives would have been destroyed. Legacies ruined. David's legacy would have been ruined. He would have tarnished himself. Abigail did not. She showed restraint and discretion. A woman of discretion is praised by others. People thank God for this woman in their lives. I told you guys I pray through the scriptures. And so anytime I see where it says, you know, I thank God on every remembrance you, or I thank God for you, I'm always like, Lord, let me be a woman that people thank God for. Let me be a person that people thank you for, God. Don't let me be that woman that people are like, Lord, get her. Lord, change her. I don't want to be that one. I was that one. Maybe people are still praying that. I don't know. I pray that they're not. I pray that they're saying, Lord, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for her. Thank you for that. After Abigail intervened and saved her household from death and David from making a wrong decision, David said in 1 Samuel 25:33, thank God for you. He thanked God for her, for your good sense. Bless you for keeping me from murder and carrying out vengeance with my own hands. David later sought her out and married her. A woman of discretion is a woman that people seek after. They thank God for her and they want to be around her. People look to her for guidance and for counsel. We see these qualities in Proverbs 31:6. It says she considers. This means she had thought. She had purpose in her actions. She was thinking things through. She considers a field and buys it. And from her profits, she plants a vineyard. Proverbs 31:18, she perceived, meaning she's perceptive, discerning, common sense. She perceived that her merchandise was good and her lamp does not go out by night. A woman of discretion is a gift from God. Proverbs 19:14. Houses and riches are inheritance from fathers, but a prudent, meaning a woman of discretion, a prudent wife is from the Lord. You all know I love a good compare and contrast. That's what this whole Bible study is about. So I'm going to give you some examples of discretion and discernment and what they look like and then what they don't look like. I'm not going to read you every verse, the verse, because we don't have time today to do that. So I'm going to give you the verse address. And then I'm gonna do the compare and contrast. Proverbs 12:16. A woman of discretion thoughtfully responds in situations, overlooks and remains calm when insulted. So what's the opposite? A quick-tempered woman. She acts on impulse without thought. She's overly sensitive. Proverbs 13:16. Proverbs 14:8 and verse 15. A woman of discretion thinks before she acts. She acts out of knowledge. She has a goal of where she is going and she does not plunge ahead recklessly. Opposite, a woman does not think things through. She acts on all of her emotions. So in turn, her folly is on display for the whole world to see. Proverbs 15:5. A woman of discretion accepts correction and she learns from it. Opposite, a woman who is easily offended. She does not accept correction. She actually despises it, hates it, rejects it, and in turn stays stuck in her life. Proverbs 17:27. A woman of discretion controls her mouth because of a calm spirit that's trusting in God. Opposite, a woman who says everything that she thinks that comes to her mind. She's not even tempered because she has a fretful spirit. Proverbs 19:11. A woman of discretion controls her temper and she is able to overlook wrongs. Opposite, a woman who is easily angered and lacks grace. People don't respect her because she's not virtuous and she's not forgiving. So then, what's the opposite of being a woman of discretion? It's indiscretion. It is a woman who is not showing care for consequences. She's rash. She's not sensible. This woman is careless with her words and her actions. She has a readiness to reveal things that should be remaining private. A lack of discretion is a result of a lack of virtue. A woman of indiscretion has no self-awareness. When we are blind to the reality of who we are, okay, when we don't see ourselves clearly, we will not have the discernment then to see the situations, the circumstances, and the people in our lives clearly. It starts with us. A woman without discretion does not even know that she's off-putting. She lacks self-control. She talks too much. She overshares. She overposts. She does not know how to read a room and behave appropriately. She's a gossip. Proverbs 11:22. As a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. Like gold in a swine's snout, it does not go. She takes something that is precious, and she makes it filthy. One commentator states, outward female beauty with indiscreet conduct is valueless and morally ugly. We don't want to be valueless. We want to be the women of worth. Invaluable, right? Adding blessing and benefit. Proverbs 9:13. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and she knows nothing. The Proverbs describe that this woman is brash. She's clamorous, but she doesn't even know it because she has no self-awareness. She's a clamorous know-it-all who knows nothing, right? We learned earlier in Ephesians, we just read it. We're supposed to put away clamor. That's supposed to not be in our lives. But this woman is disquieted. And it's not only for an external behavior, it's because of her inner man. She has a disquieted heart, a raging inner man. So what makes a woman like this? Vulnerable, unaware, immature, unguarded, indiscreet. Multiple things will remove discernment and discretion from our lives. One is active sin. It prevents us from maturing. 2 Timothy 3:6-7. For this sort are those who creep into households and make captive of gullible. This means indiscreet, silly, vulnerable, immature, okay? Make captive of gullible women loaded down with sin, led away by various lusts, always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. These women sit in church, study after study, but they never grow, they never mature, and they never have victory in their lives because they do not live in their divine nature. They are still functioning in their flesh. They have a form of godliness, but they refuse its power in their lives. And they're loaded down with sin. They have many active sins that they will not deal with, that they are justifying in their lives. Having active, unconfessed sin in our lives blinds us to the reality of who we are. Women of indiscretion lie to themselves. They are self-deceived. We lie to ourselves when we hear the word of God, but we do not live it out. Everyone around us can see the self-deception on us, right? And the foolishness on us. But we don't realize it ourselves. We are like the children of Israel in the book of Hosea, who do not even know their own depravity. Hosea 7:8-9. Ephraim has mixed himself among the peoples. Ephraim is a cake unturned. Aliens have devoured his strength, but he doesn't even know it. Yes, gray hairs are here and there. I picture like female facial hair. It goes all over the face. Gray hairs here and there. And she doesn't even know it. We're like, what's right there? I don't know about you guys. Mine's always black. Like, why? Like, what? Like, does this mean, God? To make it black and like curly. But now I'm like extra, I'm very diligent about like looking for it. That was a complete sidetrack. Okay, women of indiscretion have deceived themselves because they hear the word of God, right? But they never know the truth because they won't live the word of God. They don't take that next step. James 1:22-24. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You're lying to yourself. For anyone who is a hearer of the word and not a doer is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. He observes himself and then goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. It is like looking in the mirror, okay? It's like looking at the word of God, seeing the sin. We see the plank in our eye, and then we walk away and we say, it's fine. It's not that bad. No one can see it. It's just a little whisker. It's a big risk for Courtney. But that's what we do. The plank is there, okay? We read the word, he's revealed it to us, and then we walk away and we pretend it's fine. We must first deal with our planks before we can see others clearly. Matthew 7, 3 through 5. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider? This means you do not discern. You do not perceive the plank in your own eye. How can you say to your brother, let me remove that speck from your eye? And look, a plank is in your eye. Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Ladies, we can't go in and help others and see situations and circumstances clearly when we are blinded by our own planks. So my personal prayer for the last 10 years has been, oh Lord, may I know your word accurately, Lord Jesus, so that I can apply it effectively to my life. Lord God, just let me live it. If we do not have accurate understanding, we will not have effective application. We must know the word in the truth, not what we want the word to say. We must allow the word to come in and read us and change us. These gullible, indiscreet women are loaded down with sin, and the weight of sin is heavy. So I'm just going to name a few sins, just a couple, so you can see how they load up on us. Unforgiveness, sexual immorality, coarse talk. They don't submit to their husbands. They're gossips. They're complainers. They don't honor their parents. They're given too much wine. That's just a few sins. But you can see how quickly they compound and they start loading up on us. A woman of indiscretion, the gullible woman, the indiscreet woman, lust control them and not the Holy Spirit. They are lovers of pleasure more than they are lovers of God. So the result is that they are always learning, right? Study after study, but they never come to the knowledge of the truth because they serve their flesh and not God. Ladies, it's quite simple. Sin makes us spiritually stupid. It does. If we have active, ongoing self-justification in our lives, it is not going to make us spiritually sharp. It's going to dull us out. Knowledge without application only leads to pride and arrogance, which are sin. Knowing the word of God without allowing the word of God to show us who we are produces self-righteousness. That's the next thing that removes the ability to discern and have discretion. Self-righteousness. Self-righteous people lack discernment and discretion. Self-righteous people cannot discern who they are. So in turn, they cannot see who others are. Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. And he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus to himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, and even this tax collector. I give tithe to all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing far off, would not as much raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his chest, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Tell you, this man went down to his house justified than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Because self-righteousness blinds us to the reality of who we are, we think that we're better than we are, right? And in turn, we will look down on others. You will despise others. If we think to ourselves that we have some great spiritual walk with God, then it is an easy thing for us to look down, to condemn, right, another for their low carnal walk with God. But what does the Bible say? It says none of us, not one of us, see God the way that we're supposed to. Mind, heart, soul, strength, all that we are is given over to God. The Pharisee's reality, his discernment, was all wrong. He believed he was right with God, and others were wrong, when in fact he was the one that was so far off. Legalistic rules appear to be wisdom, right? But they have no real value. Legalism appears to be a restraining of the flesh, but what it's actually doing is subtly and powerfully feeding your flesh. What it does is it produces blinding self-righteousness. A way to check your heart, to see if you're legalistic, okay, or if you're walking in love. Do you tend to look down on others more than being moved with compassion for them? Jesus had a heart for the lost. Jesus moved with compassion for others. Okay, do you have a heart to come alongside someone, right, and help guide them into the truth? Or are you quick to cast them off? The Pharisee thought he was in right standing because of his behaviors. He thought. The tax collector knew he needed reconciliation with God. That's what merciful means. Be my atoning sacrifice, God. Be my way, Lord. Cover me, Jesus. Discernment is simply seeing things the way they are. Self-righteousness has removed discernment and discretion from the Pharisee. So he saw himself as something great when he was not. The tax collector saw himself as a sinner needing God's mercy, which he was, which we are. The word I is used 5 times in that passage by the Pharisee. Someone who lacks discretion, wisdom, prudence is usually very self-focused. A woman of indiscretion is usually the center of all of her thoughts and all of her conversations. And it comes down to what we are comparing ourselves to. I'm going to give you an example. Some of you have probably already heard it, but about a sheep eating grass, okay? So there's a beautiful white sheep, and it's eating green grass. That white sheep, compared to the background of that green grass, looks very, very white, very, very clean. But then fresh snow falls, and there's pure white snow all on the ground. Now looking at that white sheep compared to the pure white snow, that sheep is dirty. That sheep is not clean. It comes down to what we are comparing ourselves to. Women of indiscretion compare themselves to others instead of God's word. Remember in the beginning I read Proverbs 8:12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find out knowledge and discretion. A virtuous woman is rare, not easily found. Why? Because it takes spiritual discipline to train in godliness, to find out knowledge and discretion. It takes effort. We can find indiscreet, gullible women like rocks on the ground. Why? Because it's easy to feed our flesh. It's easy to self-justify. It's hard to look at ourselves and take responsibility, to dig up the soil, to allow God to come in, right? Being a woman of worth that is worthy of praise, that shines forth, requires sacrifice and discipline. It takes knowing the word of God and applying the word of God. It means taking responsibility for our actions, laying ourselves down, denying our flesh, and picking up our crosses. I think it was Monday in my 1 year reading. This verse was in it, and it's Mark 4, 24 through 25. Then he said to them, take heed to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have, what he has will be taken away from him. We are responsible for what we hear. The closer we listen to the word of God and live it, the more understanding God will give us. Okay, but on the contrary, the less we listen, the less we obey, it will be taken away. We will have less understanding. We'll have less insight. We'll have less wisdom. The woman of discretion is worthy of praise. She excels because she has learned to distinguish between wisdom and folly by knowing the word of God. She has heeded what she has heard. So this week I'm going to close praying Proverbs 14:8. The prudent understand where they are going, but fools deceive themselves. Proverbs 8:10-13, receive my instruction, not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot compare to her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogance, the evil way, and the perverse mouth. And I'm going to pray Proverbs 31:28-29. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, Lord God Almighty, nothing, absolutely nothing is hard for you, God. Pouring out your spirit upon us, God, and giving us hearts of repentance, the ability to change our minds, Lord, is a simple thing for you, Lord Jesus. We come before you, God, asking you, Lord Jesus, that you will help us to be women of wisdom, discretion, and understanding. We want to know your word, Lord, and live it so that we could distinguish between wisdom and folly, because they are both crying out to us, Lord Jesus. May we put all effort, God, into finding out knowledge and discretion, searching through your word like a hidden treasure. Help us, God, to see ourselves clearly, Lord Jesus, so that we can discern the situations in our lives accurately. Remove the pride, the arrogance, the self-righteousness that blinds us to reality, Lord God. God, we want to be women worthy of praise, women of worth, God, who shine forth for you. Enable us to excel by your power of your Holy Spirit within us, Lord Jesus. May we be women, God, of wisdom, who think through our actions to the end result. Lord God, we do not want to be simple, gullible women who are taken captive by this world because we live for this world. Help us to do better, God. Set us apart, Lord Jesus. I pray, God, for these women in this room and any woman, God, who listens to this, Lord Jesus, that you will captivate her mind, Lord God, that you will help her by the power of your spirit, God, to dig up the hard places in her life, God, the places that she's trying to hide and not deal with, God, because it's painful. But we know, God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, God, you could heal any hurt. You could remove any shame. So please, Lord Jesus, pour your spirit out of healing and grace. Consume these women with your mercy. We commit our lives into your hand. We thank you, God, that you're a loving, faithful, near, intimate God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.